news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Adkison. Thanks for joining us. Now, of course, the holidays are now well behind us, but to get started today, we head to Spanish Fork, Utah. That's where SFCN 17 Television News brings us the story of how the Spanish Fork FFA took some time before the new year to honor police officers in the city in a way that continues to leave an impression on their heroes in blue.
Today we're at the police station and we brought some turkeys and poinsettias that we worked with a local grower for the poinsettias to get them to thank the police officers for all of their service and duties that they do for the community. So the FFA, we love doing the service because it's a way that we can grow in ourselves and we can make ourselves better, but we can also better the community and make someone's day better just with some service.
I'm Ashley Olson, and me and my siblings have raised turkeys for a couple years, and we just wanted to donate them to the police station because they help out in so many ways. It always makes you feel good when you get to serve, and FFA just opens a lot of doors to new opportunities like this. A lot of people think that FFA is just agriculture, but there's lots of other opportunities in the FFA that don't directly correspond with agriculture, and I think that's really cool. But for me, agriculture has been a big part of it, and I've raised sheep and turkeys, and I've got to go to nationals and meet a ton of new people from all around the country. I'm Ashley Olson. I'm a member of the Spanish Fork FFA chapter, and it's an honor for me to be here at the Spanish Fork Police Department to give them turkeys. I'd like to give you a little bit of background of what brought me here today. I'd like to go back to when I joined FFA in eighth grade. That year and every year since then, I've raised turkeys in the fall and performed a science fair project in various competitions across the state. Each year that I've presented, I've had the opportunity to go to nationals, and I just think that's a really cool opportunity that you can have an FFA. Once these studies are done, I've had the opportunity to donate the birds to various causes here in our community. It is through these experiences that I've learned that one of the greatest joys in my life comes from serving others and helping. All of the police department are a great example of serving others on a daily basis. The work you do on behalf of our community is oftentimes dangerous and takes you away from your families even during the holidays. A project like this takes more than one person. My siblings, one of them is Landon, has helped me raise turkeys, and a lot of other people have helped, such as my FFA advisors, parents, and the generosity of local farmers. Without these individuals, these projects would not be possible. So it is my honor to present you a small token of appreciation for keeping our schools and communities safe. Nothing could truly repay you for what you did, but please accept these turkeys as our thanks to you. We sincerely appreciate your dedication and selfless service to our community.
So we brought some poinsettias today for the officers, and we have worked with a local grower to get these poinsettias. And at our school, we have a floriculture class that we have raised these poinsettias in, and we just wanted to give them to the officers to thank them. And I'm going to read this little message. Whereas it is highly fitting and appropriate that the Spanish Fork chapter of the Future Farmers of America should honor these exemplary citizens who have risked their lives to protect and preserve public safety. Whereas our schools, community, country has been blessed with courageous law enforcement officers willing to sacrifice their personal safety and concerns to ensure the safety of our citizenry, and the local chapter is especially proud to have so many valiant men and women who have performed above and beyond the call of duty. And whereas these individuals spend time well beyond their contract and service to the community as ambassadors of goodwill in retrieving locked car keys, shop with a cop, officer friendly, finding lost pets, career days in the schools, assisting on duty officers, presence at school events, and in all other areas of community service where they can identify a need. Therefore, be it resolved that we declare sincere appreciation of the commitment of the Spanish Fork Police Department and staff who tirelessly serve the citizenry of Spanish Fork and the public school system herein. Thank you.
So we are very appreciative and humbled and have a lot of gratitude in our hearts for this recognition. We as law enforcement officers serve the community with a desire to protect and serve and to help others. And the FFA have that same in their blood. I can see that. And honestly, if these individuals want to not be future farmers of America and maybe be officer for Spanish Fork City, that'd be awesome too. But they're truly outstanding people and are leaders of tomorrow, and we do truly appreciate what they've done today and what they do every day. It makes a difference.
Thank you.
Well, it sounds like some of those FFA members may have a job offer in the future. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll meet a Wisconsin member working to eradicate one of the nation's most common food allergies. Find out how next on FFA Today.
For every FFA member, there's a story waiting to be told.
And that's exactly what FFA Today is about.
Stories from and about FFA members.
And showcasing their hard work,
creative energy,
love of community,
and passion for agriculture.
All the things that make the FFA great.
FFA Today,
a new weekly program
from and about FFA members.
And their inspiring stories.
Each week
on RFD TV.
Welcome back to the show. Now we hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Breckwald, who introduces us to Amelia Hayden, a member in the Badger State who may have found a way to process peanuts, which reduces the odds of having an allergic reaction to them by 60%.
Joining me today is Amelia Hayden, and she is coming to us from the University of Wisconsin at Madison, where she is majoring in microbiology, and she's a former chapter president from Bigfoot High School in Walworth, Wisconsin. Amelia, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Well, so when you're not at school, when you're at home, are you in town? Are you on a farm or something kind of in between?
So I grew up in the small town of Sharon, Wisconsin. Not on a farm by any means, but still really involved in the agricultural community through 4-H and later FFA.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Well, what brought you into the FFA and the 4-H as well?
So I actually joined the FFA because I wanted to start my supervised agricultural experience in agroscience research.
Okay.
So I found out that there were competitions you can do in FFA related to ag research and knew that that was what I wanted to do for a career. So I thought that was a great way to jumpstart my skills right at the beginning of high school.
Okay. So at your high school, at Bigfoot High School, is your freshman year of high school, is that your first opportunity to be part of the FFA, or do you have a middle school opportunity there?
So you can join as a middle schooler as well. And despite several of my friends telling me that I should, I didn't take the leap to join FFA in middle school and decided to wait until I was a freshman and starting at the high school.
Got it. Okay. So as a freshman then, you already knew what you wanted your career to be, and then you made this unbelievably mature decision to join the FFA to help you further your, I guess, your interest in that career?
Yeah. I've always been the weirdly academic kid that absolutely loves school and like wants to do homework and was also a really big goal setter growing up. So I was always wanting to know, what do I want to do when I grow up? How can I get closer to there? It started probably in my seventh grade or freshman year. But even when I was little, like when I was five, I told my parents I wanted to be a zoologist and work with animals. So I was always dreaming in that kind of career area.
Okay, very good. So once you got into the FFA then, how did you take advantage of what was available to you to do more research and all of that, I should say?
The biggest area with research was the fact that I wasn't the only student in my chapter that had an agri-science research supervised agricultural experience.
Okay.
So I was actually able to learn from other students, and we would be all in the ag room after school working on our agri-science fair projects together. And so that was a really cool experience from my chapter, was that community of all being able to work on research and kind of learning about the different topics that other people were doing and practicing for the competitions together.
Okay.
And then outside of research in FFA, I got involved in different leadership development events and speaking contests, as well as serving as a chapter officer and getting more involved on the leadership side of things.
Interesting. Now, you ultimately ended up serving as your chapter's president. What led you to the officer team? Why did you want to, I guess, go to that aspect of the FFA as well?
For me, leaving my first chapter meeting, I had decided I want to be a chapter officer. after seeing the power that individual people, and at the time I thought it was just officers, but now looking back on it, it truly is any FFA member, mm-hmm. truly has the power to make other people feel included and make them feel welcome when it's their first meeting. And I wanted to be able to help spread that message, to help make younger members, as I got older in the FFA, really feel like they were welcome and that they had a specific place in FFA.
Okay, very good. Well, let's talk about your supervised agricultural experience. So we know you're very career-driven, you're very education-driven, and that you've identified this a long, long time ago. So let's talk about your SAE and see how this all developed for you throughout high school and even into today.
Yeah, so my SAE throughout high school, I really had two major areas that I was focusing on with agri-science research. The first that I did throughout my freshman and sophomore years of high school was on animal nutrition and mm-hmm. helping increase growth, looking at both the animal as a whole and then later on the cellular level and culturing cells and looking at how cells grow. And then the second phase of my research came in my junior and senior years of high school, when I was looking at peanut allergies and seeing if there's a way we can process peanuts differently so that when people with allergies eat them, they don't have an allergic response.
Okay. Did the studying of peanut allergies, did you kind of build up to that with your first SAE? Like, was it the next logical step in terms of your abilities and your knowledge?
So for me, it was actually looking for a way to transition out of the animal side of agriculture and into more of a food production and processing side.
Okay.
Because I wanted to gain knowledge in a variety of areas. So I thought, why not switch up my projects to learn more about another specific area?
Okay.
And a lot of times when I'm starting research projects, I go and look at what the USDA is doing for research, because mm-hmm. that's a really good indicator of what might be problems that are big and facing the agriculture industry that need to be tackled and looked at.
Very interesting. Okay, so when you're doing that, when you look at what the USDA is doing, do you ever look at something and go, well, this is being done by a lot of people, so I need to find something else, more of a niche, or do you jump right into the fray?
So first, what I look for is something that I'm interested in, because I truly believe if you're not passionate about the research or about mm-hmm. any project you're doing, you're not going to want to commit as much time to it.
Sure.
So I would look for research that was being done that would interest me, and then say, what more needs to be found out about this subject? So they're researching X about it, but what would either help their research or expand on their research mm-hmm. so that new knowledge is being discovered? So for me, it's not about repeating experiments that have already been done, but instead building on the strong foundation of knowledge that's already been laid.
Okay, very cool. Interesting. Okay, so tell us about the animal research SAE. So you're getting started with this as a freshman. How do you dive in?
Yeah, so I went to my advisors and told them I wanted to do a project with animals. Mm-hmm. And they said that the easiest animals to take care of in our high school would be to bring in a whole bunch of mice.
Okay.
So I actually was in charge of a group of mice while I was a freshman. And I was changing what was in their feed to determine whether that affected their blood glucose levels throughout a period of 6 weeks. So then that next year, I wanted to see, you know, what happens. I have all these different feeds and I can see how much they're growing and their weight and their blood glucose levels mm-hmm. as an animal. But now what's happening on the cellular level? So I reformulated those feeds to be able to be fed to cells now.
Okay.
And measured the cell growth.
Okay. Oh my goodness. I knew I wasn't going to be able to keep up with you. So you reformulated feed so that it could be fed directly to cells?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How does one figure out how you do that? That's, to me, that's just mind-boggling.
So the main thing is that when you're culturing cells, they need some sort of liquid diet.
Okay.
So if you can find a way to get all the same nutrients but in liquid form, mm-hmm. that's really the trick there.
So what were your findings when it came to animal nutrition? What were you able to determine?
So on the cellular level, I added 2% of a compound that's derived from cinnamon. So mm-hmm. it was 2% of the overall diet. And that actually increased cell growth the most as compared to without that cinnamon compound or with higher levels of that cinnamon compound. So the broader implications there are then that this was helping stabilize blood glucose levels.
Okay.
So that if you went and ate a whole bunch of sugar, even as like a 5-year-old gets on a sugar high, this would help stabilize it. So there's not that spike and increase in sugar right after you ate feed that was high in sugar concentration.
Very interesting. Okay. Now let's jump to the next SAE talking about peanut allergies. Explain to us again what it was you were trying to determine and then let us know what you found.
Yeah, so I was trying to find a way to add in a compound called a tannin to peanuts as they're being processed so that when people eat them, they don't actually have an allergic reaction if they typically would. And so the idea with this is that the tannin binding to the peanut almost disguises it, so your body's immune system can't recognize it as what it would typically think of a peanut looking like.
Okay.
And I actually found that it works 60% of the time, which is super cool. Obviously, you don't want to feed a peanut to a person with allergies and say, well, 60% of the time, you'll be fine.
Right.
But it's a cool basis to continue growing on and continue looking into.
Interesting. Now, when you say 60%, does that mean 6 out of 10 people will be fine? Or does that actually mean that a person who's allergic 6 out of 10 times will not have an allergic reaction?
So a person who's allergic 6 out of 10 times will not have a reaction.
Oh, okay.
Or the immune system won't recognize it.
Okay. So at least at the level that you've been able to achieve so far, it's not an indication that if you eat the peanut that has the tannin added to it, that you don't have an allergic reaction. It doesn't mean you're always going to not have one. You could potentially still have one in the future.
Exactly. And so that's where the growth comes into it. And I know there's more that can be done in that specific field of research to continue looking into that and seeing if we can bump that percentage up.
Okay. Really interesting. Now, what made you want to switch over to the food side of agriculture? Why did you want to switch from animals over to food like this?
So one, I was interested in just getting a new perspective on different projects. And then secondly, I competed in the National Agri Science Fair,
okay,
which caused me to have to switch out of categories for FFA. If you place high enough, you cannot come back and compete in the same category because they don't want the same person winning it every year in a row kind of thing.
So you were a victim of your own success.
Yes.
So as you went along then, did you win at the National Agri-Science Fair the first time with your animal nutrition project then?
So my first project, I got second at the state competition,
okay,
but then my second project, I did win the national competition.
Wow, very cool. So here you are now, you're in college, you're majoring in microbiology. And so where do you see that taking you? Do you want to go out into the workplace after your bachelor's degree, or will you continue on to graduate school?
Yeah, so after I earn my bachelor's degree, I'd like to get a job with a company doing research in agriculture and see where that takes me in. Maybe grad school is in the future after that, but for sure getting into the workforce right away after college.
And is there any one sector of the workplace that you've got your eye on?
I am really open to whatever. I have always been partial to biotechnology, but I know that there's research to be done in every sector of agriculture to help us continue producing a safe and abundant food supply.
Very cool. Well, I want to ask your advice really quick for other students out there, Amelia. For another student out there who finds himself very academically oriented, you know, at such an early age, you know, in middle school or maybe even sooner, and they feel pressure from their peers to be less academically oriented and more oriented in other things or maybe popular at the time, what advice would you have for that student in terms of staying the course and really focusing on their education like you have?
I would say the first thing is that if that's genuinely who you are as a person and that you love learning things and growing yourself, then that's something that will benefit you for the rest of your life. And the second thing is that if you can find a way to take all that knowledge and that desire to grow and use it to help other people, that's truly going to make you shine through regardless of what career path you choose by applying that knowledge and skill, not just to get good grades in the classroom, but to find ways to truly help people in your community and in your career as a whole.
That is great advice. Amelia, best of luck to you. Thank you so much for coming on today. And hey, congratulations. Great job on all the accomplishments so far.
Thank you so much. It was great talking with you today.
Very promising research, and from such a young mind, we wish her luck. And by the way, Amelia was also one of this year's National Star finalists in agriscience. Well, stay tuned. Hear from a veteran whose FFA skills helped him represent the USA over three decades as a Marine and beyond. His story coming up on Rural Radio 147.
I know that you all loved being an FFA member just as much as I did, but I'm excited to let you know that your experience doesn't have to end when you lay down that jacket. There are so many opportunities for you to stay involved and connected, so why don't you join us at FFA.org.
Thanks for tuning in this week. And in the FFA, students learn about more than just agriculture. They also learn communication and leadership skills that they can carry on throughout life. For Lieutenant General John Castelaw, the work ethic that he learned on the farm helped him serve his country.
I'm John Castelaw. I'm from Crockett County, Tennessee. I graduated from the University of Tennessee at Martin with a degree in agriculture, a commission in the Marine Corps, and a brand new wife who I said, honey, 3 years and we're back on the farm, and we stayed in for 36. And then after that, we came back to the farm. Farm Space Systems, what we do is remote sensing, and we provide aircraft. We repair the ones that have broken. We provide flight services. We also are doing some development work with various people on new stuff, using artificial intelligence and looking for better ways to provide management to farmers. I always thought it was a privilege and an honor to serve our great nation, whether it was as a civilian before I went in, being a part of the local community, or whether it was serving in the military and being prepared to, go in harm's way. And then when I got out, I recognized, what had been available to me to do in the military. And one of the big things that we do is that we focus on veterans. We're partnering with Lone Oaks here and with some other elements to provide veterans a fellowship where they can come and learn about various elements, including precision agriculture. And Farm Space Systems is going to be teaching drone operations, remote sensing, to veterans as a part of this program. While in school, we had 4-H Club, which was a big deal, and then FFA, and FFA with ag education, all of us intended to be farming or associated with farming, and so it's just natural to be a part of that. Well, it was a great opportunity to start exercising leadership and to learn what you need to do. I was president of my FFA chapter, and so it gave me an idea about how you organized people, and that's what it's all about, is organizing people, and how do you get things done. And so that gave me some of the basic skills in being in charge. And when you're in charge, it's all about the people who work with you, because it's certainly not you. It's how you're able to facilitate the team working together and getting the job done. And that's what I found in my first actions with FFA. Expand your horizons. Take advantage of the wonderful opportunities that we have to go beyond where we are right now. One of the great things that happened to me growing up is I had the opportunity to, drive cotton pickers, And back then, we didn't have cabs on it. And so I'd be out driving a cotton picker at night, and I'd look up, and I'd see the North Star, and I'd see all the constellations. And it made me understand that it's a much wider and bigger world out there. And organizations like FFA and 4-H and others give you an opportunity to expand your horizons, to take advantage of that, a little bit of interest in finding out what's on the other side.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. But if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Shoot us an email at FFAtoday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR-147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.